have hot chocolate and we'll have coffee and we're going to visit and just hang out together for a while. Don't you miss just hanging out? Do you remember how to just hang out? I'm having to think about it for a minute. It's going to be at 6. Now, service generally starts at 6:30. We're going to start this at 6, give us a little bit of extra time. And if you need to leave early, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But the biggest thing is fellowship. It's just coming together and hanging out. We need that, especially in the days in which we're in. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to join me in the book of Ephesians as we continue our study on the fruit of the Spirit, a study that we have entitled Juicy Fruit. And this morning, as we look at our text, we're going to be talking about the fruit of faithful or faithfulness. We're called to be faithful. Now, when you think about faithful, what comes to your mind? For me, it's a dog. Yes, sure. It's a dog. Think about it like this. Let's just say that you and your spouse, you got a couple of kids. Let's just say they're 8 and 10. And you've decided you're going to Disney. And everybody's so excited about going to Disney. Everybody loves Mickey and Minnie, and it's going to be fun. And then as you're on your way, you stop at someone's home. You tell the kids to get out. And you leave your two children at the babysitter's for a week while you and your spouse go enjoy a lovely time at Disney. When you get home, you run by the babysitter's, you pick up your two children and begin to talk about what a wonderful time it was, how beautiful the parades were, how great the weather was. How do you think your kid's going to react? I'm thinking about 4 or 5 years of therapy. That's what I'm thinking. They ain't going to be happy. Now, let's just say you're going to Disney, but you got a dog. And you can't take your dog to Disney. So you take your dog to a trusted kennel. You drop the dog off. You shed a few tears because you're going to miss your baby. And then you head to Disney for a week, you come back, you run by the kennel, you pick up your dog looks at you kind of like, where you been, man? I mean, seriously. But then when you get home, the dog is like, whoa, it's home. And all is forgiven. And your dog is running around the kitchen and running around the house and rolling around on the floor because he's home. You see, the thing about a dog is you can talk to a dog and tell that dog anything you want as long as you do it in the right tone. My wife will tell you, I look at our dog all the time, I'm like, oh, you're just a little stupid mutt, aren't you? She's like, yeah, yeah, give me bacon. They're dogs, but they're faithful. Leave them for a week and hey, all is forgiven. You know, we have a small dog, so you almost trip over her and you're like, Fidget, what are you doing? 3 minutes later, all's forgiven because you yelled at her. The dog is loyal. It is faithful. Scripture is filled with stories of men and women who were faithful to the kingdom. And this morning, we're going to look at a guy that you maybe never really thought that much about. You've never really looked at his life. So if you have your Bibles, again, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 21. And here we find Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. And here he talks about a guy named Tychicus. Have you ever done a study on Tychicus? We're just going to call him Ty this morning, pretty much, kind of short. Have you ever really studied the life of Ty? Well, it's in there. And he's found in more than one place in Scripture. And one of the things that we find here is that Paul considers him a faithful friend, a faithful brother, a faithful servant. So let's kind of break this down a little bit. And what does it mean to be faithful? Well, first of all, if you're going to be faithful, you must be selfless. Selfless. Because one of the things he does is here he considers him, and notice what he calls him, dear brother. Dear brother. That word dear is a term of endearment. It is a term that means you care. And so here we have Paul who cares dearly for Ty, and Ty cares for Paul. Now this didn't just happen. It came about over time. This title, dear brother, was earned. It was earned by going through difficult situations, going through difficult times, traveling together, caring for one another. And one of the problems that people have sometimes with us is that we want to give advice before we've earned the right to give advice. See, a lot of times people have all the advice to give, but you hadn't earned that right yet. We don't have that kind of relationship yet. Ty had that kind of relationship with Paul through time. You see, when Paul writes this letter, you know what it's called besides Ephesians? It's called Ephesians, but it's also called a prison epistle. The reason being, Paul was in prison when he wrote it. Paul writes this letter from prison, but who is there with him? Tychicus. Tychicus is right there. Just because times got tough for Paul didn't mean that Ty bailed on him. You see, that's part of the idea of being faithful. That we are called to be faithful even when times are difficult. Anybody can be faithful in the good times. When there's plenty of money to go around, when there's plenty of food to go around, when everybody's having a good time, it's easy to be faithful. But when the money starts running short, when times get hard, when your best bud is now in jail, times are dark, that's when we find out who our true friends are. That's when we find out if people are really going to be faithful. And here, Tychicus is a servant. He is a servant to a jailbird. You see, Paul's only crime was the preaching of the kingdom, of being committed to the cross, of being faithful to the cause of Christ. That was his only crime. Tychicus knew that, and he hung in there. Paul's like, Ty, man, you got to go. I'm in jail. I mean, I can't offer you anything. He says, I know, but you're my friend. I'm not leaving you. Yeah, but you got family. I don't want to hear it, Paul. I'm not leaving you. I will be faithful to the end. How many of us have a friend like that? How many of us can say that we have a friend that will be faithful to the end? No matter what is said about us, no matter what may happen to us, they will be there. Paul found this in Tychicus. And again, it's because he was selfless. Tychicus was selfless. He put himself out there, even when it was risky. Are you willing to risk your reputation? If somebody is accused of something, are you willing to risk your reputation? Are you willing to risk your safety to help them? Tychicus was. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, first part of chapter 20, there's a story that took place. You want to guess where? Ephesus. And Ephesus was a large city, and one of the things it was known for was an idol in a temple. And the idol's name was Artemis. And so people would come from far and wide to worship Artemis at this temple. And so now you have this tourist trap in Ephesus. an idol named Artemis. So what do you do if you have a tourist trap? You open a souvenir shop. What else? And so there were men in Ephesus that were silversmiths, and they would make miniature models of Artemis out of silver and sell them to the tourists or sell them to people in town so they could take this false god back to their home and be reminded of it. Paul comes along. He starts preaching a crucified, resurrected Christ that was alive, that was real, that wasn't made from silver or gold, but created all things. And people began to turn away from Artemis. And they began to turn to Christ. What happened? Well, the guys that owned the souvenir shops, the silversmiths, they began losing money. Now, when you start losing money, it gets serious. And so some of the silversmiths got together and they began to make accusations against Paul. They began to stir up the people. Stirred them up to the point that they were ready to kill Paul, and many of them didn't even know why. They were just, it was a mob mentality. Sound familiar? Paul, being Paul, wants to do what? He wants to go talk to them. Hey, I got a big crowd. I'll just preach. And his friends, including Tychicus, said, no, you're not. They will kill you. And so they get him out of town. But in the midst of all this, Tychicus was with Paul. He never left his side, even though it was risky. He put himself aside. And notice what else he does here. He doesn't call him my friend. He calls him my brother. Bruh. Bro. My brother. And I don't believe that's by accident. In the book of Proverbs, wonderful book, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says this, a friend loves at all times. And everybody said, aw. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend's going to love you. A friend's going to care. Your brother, he's going to be in the midst of the battle with you. The brother is willing to get his hands dirty. The brother is willing to take up arms and say, I've got your back. And if it means it's going to get messy, it's going to get dirty, it's going to get bloody, I'm with you. When light turns to night, your brother's going to be there with you. This is the faithful servant. I'm not turning away just because times get tough. Second thing, to be faithful means to be steadfast. He not only calls him my dear brother, he has another phrase there. He uses faithful servant. Faithful servant. It means he's willing to persevere. It means he's willing to stay with it. It means he's there no matter what may come and no matter how he feels. We live in a touchy-feely society. It's all about how you feel. How do you feel about it? You see, part of the reason I believe that we're in the mess we're in is we keep asking all the wrong questions. You can't get the right answer till you start asking the right questions. The question is not, how do you feel about it? The question is, what's the truth? What is the truth? How I feel about it is secondary. I'm going to be honest with you. There's some stuff in this book I wish wasn't there. You know why? It would make my life a whole lot easier. You know that little word we've talked about, patience? And let me pause here and say thank you to Anthony. Last Sunday, or not this past week before, my wife and I were in Virginia. And so this time last Sunday, I was somewhere in North Carolina, and it was utterly storming. While Anthony was nice and dry and warm and preaching for me, and I appreciate that, and I know he did a wonderful job. But eventually the rain stopped. And eventually we got into Georgia. Eventually we got closer to Atlanta. And eventually my patience ran thin. Why? Because people are crazy. They don't know how to drive. You see, it would make our lives easier if that wasn't there. You have people in your life. Let's be honest, if they weren't in your life would be easier. Come on now, don't look at me like that. I got them too. But remember, God put them in your life because he trusted you with them. Because everybody's not going to be faithful. When times get tough, there's going to be people that's going to bail because of how they feel. But the faithful servant, it doesn't matter what barrier, it doesn't matter the temptation, it doesn't matter the risk, it doesn't matter how hard it is, they're going to be there. They are the faithful servant. They are the dear brother. Now, again, remember what he calls him, not only a servant, but what kind of servant? Faithful. 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 The core is faith. The suffix is full. Faithful. Flip it. Full of faith. Because that's the only way we can remain faithful is to be full of faith, because there's things we don't understand. There's things going on. We're like, this can't be right. There's things going on, and we're like, there's no way this could happen. But it did. It does. And it will. And God says, I'm in control. You be faithful. Paul, in speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he told him, he said, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, you just do what you know to do. You don't have to have all the answers. You just got to know the answer. And the answer is Jesus. So, it creates another question. If I'm going to be faithful, how does this work out in my everyday life? Let me give you three things. Number one is observation. Open your eyes. Look at what is going on around you. God is steadfast. God is faithful. Where is he calling you? What is he showing you that you need to be faithful to? It's out there. God is working. But we get so funnel vision into our own lives, our own issues, and our own problems, we can't see where God wants to move us to, who God wants us to help, where we need to be faithful. Another thing is participation. When you observe it, jump in. Blackaby said that if you want to experience God in a full way, find out where God is working, find out what God is doing, and then just jump into it. Participate. And sometimes you ain't got to wait for an invitation. Participate in what God is trying to do in your world. And the third thing is submission. Remember, we talked about the dog at the beginning. We've had our dog for about 16 years. She's part of the family. First got her that first year. I kept looking at my wife going, I'm going to kill the dog. I'm going to kill that dog. Because she's always napping at your heel. She was always eating furniture. She's hyper as all get out. I mean, you'd come home and you thought the dog had been eating meth bone biscuits. I mean, the dog's just losing her mind. I'm like, oh. So what had to happen is she had to learn to be submissive to my wife and myself for us to have a proper relationship and be able to have a lasting relationship, because she was not going to be the boss of the house. She was not going to eat furniture. Same way with us in Christ. He's the master. We're the faithful, should be, faithful servant. It means that we bring our lives. He will always be God. And don't listen to what people tell you that when we get to heaven, we're going to be little gods. No, you're not. You're going to be you with a glorified body. When we get to heaven, He is still going to be the creator, and we're still going to be the created. Amen. He will still be the one to be worshipped, and we will still be the worshipers. So we bring our lives into submission. That's the only way we live successful Christian lives, is when we're living in submission to Him. Next thing. To be faithful, we must be serious about what we're doing. We have to be serious. Look, I don't take myself real seriously. I don't. I'll be the first one to crack jokes on myself. You don't have to make jokes about me being bald. I'll do it for you. Just remember that God don't put marble on cheap furniture. There you go. My nose is a little large. I get that. I'm okay with that. I'm never going to be mistaken for Mel Gibson. I get that. Nor George Clooney. Mr. Ed, maybe. I don't know. But the thing is that even though I don't take myself seriously, I take what I do very seriously. Because it is serious. Understand, guys, when we talk about church, it's more than a building. It's a lot more than a denomination. When we talk about church, we're talking about the kingdom of God and the battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. That's what we're about. And if we ever forget that, we might as well just lock the doors and go to the house. Because we forgot our mission. We forgot why we're here. We have to be serious about it. Serious also means fearless. Remember we talked about Tychicus when he was in Ephesus with Paul. Paul's life was being threatened because he was Paul's friend. His life was being threatened. You ever heard about guilty by association? Yeah. That's what Paul was facing. And Paul was, and Tychicus was a Christ follower. And like many in the early church, especially those first couple of centuries, they knew just by naming the name of Christ, they put their lives on the line because there were those that wanted to take it. You understand, for the first 300 years of Christianity, we were the outlaws. We were the outlaws. And maybe, just maybe, part of the problem of the church today is that we have become too civilized. Amen. And I don't know where that came from, but that's free. I'm not going to charge you for it. So, what does a serious servant look like? Again, let me give you three things. Number one, perseverance. Perseverance. It means that no matter what comes, no matter what gets in the way, no matter what may happen, that you refuse to give up because you're faithful. Be honest. Let's be honest. We're in church. Your entire marriage has been a honeymoon. True or false? Come on, don't look at me like, come on now. I'll be honest with you. My marriage has been like a vacation. It has been. My wife says she married me because I was her last resort. So there you go. But your marriage has not always been perfect. Why? Because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. You two human beings coming together, living together, making decisions together, raising a family together. It gets tough. But the successful marriage, the good marriage, is the one that does what? It perseveres. It keeps going. It keeps pushing. I will not give up. You fight through it. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25 tells us this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Do you get that? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Boy, that's the way to build a church. Hey, we want you to come to this church. We want you to come to the faith in Christ. Now, you got to deny yourself. You're not going to get your way. It's no longer going to be about you. And then we want you to take your cross. Now, for a lot of us, the cross means what? A piece of jewelry. But in those days, the cross meant death. If you were to travel back in time, 2,000 plus years, and you were to walk down the streets of Jerusalem or Rome with that cross you wear around your neck, people would look at you like you lost your mind. It would be kind of like if you were to wear a necklace that had on it the emblem of an electric chair. How many, if you make jewelry, how many pieces of jewelry for an electric chair you think you could sell? Everybody's like, "You are so weird." I mean, who would do that? Are you a serial killer? Is that what your goal is? I mean, think about it. That's the way they looked at the cross. But for us, the cross has changed. For us, the cross is not a place of death. It's a place of life. Why? Because that's where we gain life, because our sins were crucified on that cross. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross. It means that now you're going to crucify your sin and follow me. Deny, follow. He bookended the cross. Deny yourself, because the only way you're going to follow him is you've got to deny yourself. Because I want to go where I want to go. I want to do it my way, on my time, and because I'm impatient, I'm taking the fastest route. Jesus said, "It ain't about you, it's about me. Stop going where you want to go and follow me." It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road, doesn't mean it's going to be always a happy road. What it does mean, it will always be his road, and his road is always what's best for us. And it means that we have to persevere, we have to fight through it. Second thing, patience. Patience. There's that word again. Impatience has destroyed so many people. Well, what's the old saying? Only a fool rushes in. How many people, maybe yourself, that you've known rushed into some decision, some choice? It could be, you know, once for me it was buying a car. Stupid. Just dumb decision. Bought it anyway, paid for it anyway. Maybe it was something more serious. Maybe it was a relationship, a marriage. Maybe it was the purchase of a home that turned out to be a money pit. It could be so many different things. And so what God is calling for us to do is to be patient, to wait on him. The faithful servant is willing to wait on God because they know God always knows best. Book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 18. He says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. That means God wants to do good things for you. You don't have to beg him. He wants to do it. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. We are an impatient people. The other night, I was being a good husband. Rare, I know, but I was trying. And my wife wanted ice cream. She will not buy a container of Bluebell and put it in the freezer like normal people. She has to have it one scoop at a time. So she says, go to Freddy's and get me some ice cream. Or excuse me, custard. It's better for you than ice cream. So Stuart, being in an attempt, I should say, to get brownie points, has the Freddy's. As did everybody else in Opelika. I get there and the line is wrapped around the building. I'm like, are you serious? And so I'm sitting there waiting for everybody else to order. I'm sure everybody else is getting hamburgers and french fries, maybe, you know, like four scoops of custard, whatever. So Stuart is waiting for one scoop of custard. And so I get up there and I pay for it. $3 for one scoop. And I'm sitting there going, what? That started to trip off. I mean, you know, really? And then I've got to wait at the next window, and I'm thinking to myself, it's one scoop. I could have crawled through the window, got a cup, and scooped it myself by now. And finally, I get my one scoop. And I take it home to Carol. And I hope she enjoyed it. Because I didn't. Why? Because I'm not patient. And the truth of the matter is, the whole time I'm sitting there, I got a ball game on. Should be a big deal. But you see, we want things to run on our time. God doesn't run on our time. And the only way we can discover his blessings is we have to wait. Third thing very quickly, progress. If you're going to be a child of God, it means that we're constantly moving, growing into him, being like him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Key word, transformed. God loves you enough to take you into his family just as you are. He also loves you enough not to leave you as you are. If you're not being transformed, something is wrong, and it's not with God. He wants to be changing your life. Final thing, very quickly, verse 22. He says here, why is he sending Tychicus? Why is he doing this? He says, so that he may encourage you. Encourage you. Do you need some encouragement? You are a child of God. How have you felt this week? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Maybe happy, I don't know. Things didn't go the way you thought they ought to go. You feel cheated. You need some encouragement. We all do. There are times in our lives we just need somebody to come up, put their arm around us, look us in the eye and go, hey, it's going to be okay. You got this. You're going to be okay. I'll tell you this. And I remember when my son was playing t-ball. I coached my son from t-ball all the way up till he started playing. And he's playing t-ball. And we're in a game one night. Bases are loaded, two outs. Bottom of the inning. Last inning. and he comes up to bat. And my job on the T-ball team was I adjusted the tee for each player and put the ball on there and said, all right, you got this, do it, hit it. And I'm putting the ball on the tee, and I look up, and his bottom lip is trembling. He's that nervous. He's that afraid of messing up. That's my son. And so I put the ball on the tee, and then I put my hand on his chest, and I just pushed him back gently. And I got down on my knee in front of him. I said, Brad, you got this. Don't worry about it. Whatever happens, happens. You hit it as hard as you can, then you run as fast as you can. It's going to be fine. And so he gets up there, and he smacks the ball. He's safe. The kid at home is safe. We win the ball game. And I'll never forget him coming running down the first baseline, yelling, I did it, I did it, I did it. And he jumped in my arms. That's a memory I will never forget. You see, when you're faithful to others, you're a reflection of Christ. When you're faithful to Christ, you bring him glory. And one day, you're going to stand in front of the throne, and he's going to look at you, and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then one day, you're going to be running, maybe running down the streets of glory, because you see Jesus. And you're going to be yelling, we did it, we did it, we did it. And you're going to jump in his arms. And he's going to simply say, I told you. I told you. It's okay. You're fine now. The battle's over. They need to see the reflection of Christ in your eyes. They need the hope of Christ that he has given you the ability to speak. Are you faithful? He is. Let's bow our heads. As I said this morning already, it's been a unique week. Been tough for some folks. But remember, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the character of God. He calls us to be faithful because he's faithful. God has not forgotten America. He's not forgotten you. He knows just where you are, just what you're going through. And he's here for you. And maybe this morning you need to experience his faithfulness in your life. And maybe that just means walking down an aisle, kneeling in an altar and saying, God, I'm done. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I'm giving it to you. Maybe there's somebody else in this room that needs some faithfulness, and you know what they're going through. Maybe God is speaking your heart to go to them this morning, put your arm around them, and just say a prayer for them. Maybe this morning you're going through something, and you need somebody to pray with you and say, Stuart, I don't get this, man. I just I'm going through this or this, and I'm struggling, and I know God's faithful, but I'm just not feeling it right now. I'd love to pray with you. More than anything else, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you he's faithful. He was faithful to come into this earth. He was faithful to live a sinless life. He was faithful to die on a cross for you and to rise again. And one day, because he's faithful and he has promised, he's coming back to this earth to take us home. The question is, will you be ready to go? You can make that happen today. No matter where you are or what you're going through, he's here with you and for you. He's in this moment. Don't miss it. Heavenly Father, you're an awesome God. And you always know what is best for us and do what is best for us and work for our best. And this morning, our lives are all over the place. There's some here that things are great. Some here things are not so great. Facing different things. And I just pray that this morning we would experience you as a faithful God. And if there's anyone here that is struggling, may they be willing to take a step of faith toward an altar and just kneel and pour their lives out before you and allow you to speak to them. There's others here that may not know you, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them into yourself in a way that no person ever could. Ever how you're speaking to us, I pray that we would have the faith to do what you're calling us to do. I pray that we would not miss this moment. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.